All right, you're on the arms of Glenn.
And John.
Andrew.
Thank you.
Maybe.
She's
not sure yet.
I got to tell you.
I'm unsure.
Great morning this morning. Coming into the studio to find Adam Bird.
Oh, my goodness.
I thought that guy was dead.
I thought he was gay. And turns out he's married to a woman.
What? That's right. He is.
Yeah. You guys are so rude.
I mean, after that night, John knows what night I'm talking about. I was pretty sure he was gay. But he's not.
Thanks for bringing it.
So good for him.
So when Jen listens to this, she's like, what night are you talking
about? What night are you talking about? He'd be like, and anything he says is going to sound like a lie. So
it's a magical
night. You guys are so rude.
And his wonderful wife that we got to meet for the first time in here, just putting up
with all of your guys'
with
bullshit.
All of our shit. And she's just so nice. And
well,
she's
we
so
have microphones.
And you don't.
You will listen to every word I have to say.
So it was awesome to see Adam. Of course, Adam, for those guys who don't know, the owner and director and all the other titles of Heroes Media Group.
Yep.
We don't get to see him as much now that he doesn't live in Arizona anymore, but we're really happy to see him whenever we get the opportunity. So, freaking awesome. Awesome to see him.
Yeah. Word.
Great, dude. Without Adam, this show wouldn't exist.
True story.
Yeah, he created the show. We didn't create it. We just took it over.
And then he picked the two best hosts ever.
He picked the best host, and then the best host asked his friend, who turned into the second best host.
Wow.
There's the love I need. There it is. It's been a while since he insulted me.
It's a motivation that you need.
I thought we were all going to get fired today.
Yeah, Adam came. He's like, I got some things to talk to you about. I'm like, oh, God, what? Here's what he actually wants to talk to us about. He's going to put the show on Amazon. So Amazon, he's going to have his own channel. Heroes Media Group is going to have their own channel. And boom, voila.
What?
Have our own show.
Like,
have our own
video
thing on Amazon. Yep.
Or just audio.
Nope, the whole thing. It's actually going to be this video from Facebook Live.
Yeah.
What?
Kapow. And take the video, give it to him, do outro and intro, probably around the 1st of November.
That's crazy.
Side note, if anybody wants to see a cool Amazon Prime video, if you have Amazon Prime, look up the Recoil Web for Recoil Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a video in there.
Of little Glennie.
Of me and Ian Harrison and a buddy of ours from Owen's Armory. Battling it out in the desert with some long-range stuff.
Yeah, they did that. Well, they did that for one of the COVID. That's when COVID started.
Yeah, it was like a digital match or whatever.
Yeah.
It was fun. Just kind of talked about long-range. Basically, what happened was they took like a nothing rifle. They took it down to LRK. They turned it over. They had all the cool stuff done to it. And then they took it out to the match. And Ian beat me.
It was one of the War Horse matches.
Ian beat me by one fucking point. What's that?
It was one of the War Horse matches, right?
No. It was literally just a Recoil Magazine thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And but that was a lot of fun. So if you guys are, looking for something else to watch, it's a few minutes, but it's a really good look into long-range shooting and how to build a rifle and optics selection. And of course, Ian Harrison always does such a good job of explaining things and describing stuff. So there's that. And delicious. Yeah. And then you get to see me shoot. And you get to see what happens when my spotter, Josh, gives me a bad wind call. And, it's good stuff. To Josh's credit, Josh rarely gives me bad wind calls.
Josh literally just called you a liar.
Usually what happens is I argue with Josh about whether the wind call he just gave me is correct or not. He tells me to shut up and shoot. I tell him, you can't tell me how to live my life. You're not my real dad. And we go back and forth for a few minutes, and he says, the wind call changed. And I say, what is it? And he says, no, I'm not going to fucking tell you. And then I guess, and I miss, and he tells me what the right thing is, and I hit. That's usually what happens.
That sounds right.
That's Josh.
That sounds 100% accurate.
Josh is a great... great ability to call the wind. That is for sure. So, there you go. Thank you, patrons, for continuing to support the show. We appreciate it. Good news for you. Swag coming your way if you're watching on a live video. Boom! New decals. Nobody cares. Work harder. Sabertooth coming to everybody. And for all you guys who are $10 above, you're going to get a second decal, which is just going to be the Sabertooth because that's the one I really wanted. This is the one Drew wanted, and we put it up to a vote, and all you guys agreed with her. But I like to do what I want, so I got my own. And that's for the $10 above patrons. You guys are going to get those. Everyone else will get these. And then whatever's left over will be put up for sale on the website until they are gone. And then we've also got some more of the regular Arms Room decals. They're matte instead of gloss. I'm not sure I really like that.
Mm.
But they're here. So if you guys want some, boom. We'll put up We'll have Drew do a little story post about him later on the Instagram page so you guys can see him. But otherwise, patrons, you'll start getting a lot more stuff, a lot more swag. Classroom classes starting very, very soon. Getting everything finalized this week. And as soon as they are rolling, we're going to start recording them and posting up on Patreon. In fact, we probably should have done that for the last two classes that we taught here. The first one was what? Oh, we did a Stop the Bleed for a homeschooling group that was kind of cool because we mostly dealt with little kids.
Yeah.
And then, but then we did the radio comms class. That's like an actual
class.
Yeah, class. But all of the classroom-based classes are going to be recorded and thrown up on the Patreon thing. We still have to figure it out, but we're going to make it happen one way or another, even if I have to do multiple videos. So we got to figure out how to make that happen. We've got some cool freaking stuff lined up. AR-15 armors class, handgun Glock armors class, herbal medicine class, kit setup class, priorities of survival.
The peds class.
Yeah, pediatric medicine class. We've got structural movement class here, a vehicle-based class, some other kind of basic tactics, low-light, no-light stuff, low-light, no-light IFAC scenarios, ITI scenarios. I got a lot of cool freaking stuff going on. So,
Stay tuned. Bitches, just kidding.
Get ready. Oh, and just like that, we lost three patrons. Thank you, Drew. Right.
That comes out of her pay, right?
Yeah, it comes out of Drew's pay.
I don't even get paid.
That's not true. You do. You get paid in services.
Why don't you explain those services?
Let's not do that right now.
I clean the dishes vigorously.
Uh-huh. Is that what they call it these days?
That's what the kids are calling it.
Kids call it all kinds of stuff.
Any stuff on the news these days? I don't watch the news anymore.
I don't either. I haven't heard anything. Jamie and I haven't.
Are there people trying to get elected to some shit? I try not to pay attention.
Yeah.
Trump has COVID or something?
That's what they said. I saw a super funny meme about that.
I don't fucking care.
It's like even COVID picked Trump over Biden.
Oh!
I laughed really hard at that. I was like, that's pretty good.
I did see that meme. Yeah. But he's already returned back to work, and then everybody's like, oh, he's not even thinking about his staff and yada, yada, yada.
And like, that guy could literally save a baby's life in the middle of a fucking snowstorm.
Which is funny, what we were talking about this morning, actually, about how people will always just blame somebody else and make shit up.
You can never do the right thing. You will always be blamed for someone else's mistakes. Yeah, a lot of that kind of stuff going on around here. But interesting thing we had happen, you know, this morning as Drew and I are in the ever exciting world of, you know, raising kids and teaching them how to be functional human beings. One of the things that we had encountered was one of the ladies made a mistake this morning about something that she needed to take to school. And I was really proud of her because she was kind of upset about it at first, and it kind of put us out of our way. We had to go pick some other things up.
Yeah.
Outside of where her school was, and it made her a little late for first day, and she was a little frustrated about that at first. And then we started talking about it a little bit, and we were kind of driving to school, and she goes, "You know, Dad, it's this is my fault."
Yeah.
I said, Yeah, it is. But we're going to forget the mistake. We're going to remember the lesson. What did we learn? What did we take away? It's going to inconvenience everybody a little bit. But, like, how are we going to A, stop this from happening again? And B, how are we going to make sure that that it's remedied right now? You know, how are we going to make the most out of the time we have right now to get this thing going? And so we did. We found a solution. It was the best solution we could come up with under the circumstances. She totally owned her mistake. We talked about learning from mistakes. We talked about improving. We talked about how mistakes are important. And like I do in many things in my life, I use an example of, you know, shooting. And I'll use this example again, you know, to listeners. And it's this. Sometimes we have people show up to class and they want to shoot better. And they can't figure out why they can't be more accurate or they can't be faster or whatever it is. And then we show them something. And then they don't do it. And you're like, you're not getting the desired results you want because you're not doing this. Yeah, but it's really hard to do that other thing. It's hard to change. Yeah, I know.
Oh, that's sad.
Tell your mom. Tell her all about it. But while you're here with me,
let's do the thing. And right? Do the thing I'm trying
you
to
You have
show
to
you.
Put conscious, mental, physical energy into changing the thing. And then when we put you under stress, we put you under time, or we make you move or whatever, you're just going to devolve and go right back to doing whatever it was you were doing before, unless you put mental and physical energy into changing this thing. Like, you're going to have to throttle down maybe a little bit, pay super close attention to what you're doing, and really, really work on this thing. And your results, like, what you're going to want then is not necessarily going to be result-driven, but process-driven. Yep. So that once the process is correct, you'll get the results that you want. If you're super result-focused, you're not going to focus on the process, and then you're going to have, you know, you're never going to change. You're never going to get any better. But I'm aiming right there, and I'm pressing the trigger, and I'm hitting low or whatever. It's the fucking gun or whatever. And it's like, no, it's not. It's your process. Let's get process-driven here. And then you'll have some people, you know, some students who kind of fight back about it, you know, a little bit. And they're not doing it even consciously because, dude, they paid us to be there. So it's not like they're like, I'm not going to fucking listen to you. Like,
they're like, I'm smarter than you.
Yeah, they're not doing that. It's like, okay, they realize that there's something they need to learn, so they're going to listen to us, and that's fine. But just because of how we are, like, you can almost call it a human condition, they just fight so hard against change. And then you have these other folks who are just like, I'm a fucking open vessel, dude. Pour in. You know, like, what do you got? Mm-hmm. You know, what have you got that you can teach me? And you start teaching people something. You watch them put incredibly conscious effort into, you know, what they're doing. And to use an example, I always like to use real-world examples. We had a student yesterday who was very, very nervous about being on the range with all these other people who were on the range because she was not as experienced as they were. And she was just nervous about gun handling, and she was nervous about a lot of things about that world of violence and things like that. And she fought through it. Some tears were shed. And she fought through it, man. And she got, by the end of the day, she's both handgun and carbine, shooting and moving around barriers, engaging targets, like, multiple times, multiple targets, and working through malfunctions and... It's awesome to see. It's awesome to see when somebody really is like, I want this. I want this so damn bad. You know, this is what I want to do. I want this so bad. I'm going to overcome even emotional hurdles if that's what it takes to get this thing that I want because I have to put this much effort into it. So as I was talking with my daughter today about, you know, the need for change and how it requires, like, a lot of people's like, I want to change. I want to get better shape. I want to do this. They talk about all kinds of shit. You know, I want to get better education. I want to get a better job. But if they don't fucking do anything about it.
It requires discipline, and discipline sucks.
It requires, change requires, like, real effort. It requires sacrifice. It requires pain. It
requires discipline.
Yeah.
Like, you have to.
It's going to be hard. It's going
to
be hard.
You have to do it. Like, you have to say, if this is what I want, this is what I have to do. Right? I don't want to get up every morning and work out for an hour and 15, an hour and 20 minutes. I don't. Not particularly fun. But I know what the end result will be, so I have disciplined myself to do it. And for a while, it was hard, right? It was like, God, I really don't want to get up. I just need that extra 10 minutes this morning, right? But now it's like, okay, cool. I have to get up at this time to get this done so that I can do all of these other things in my life. Because if I don't make time for this now, if I don't exercise this level of discipline to make this happen right now, it will not happen today. Mm-hmm.
That change requires that pain.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And so she and I were just kind of talking about, you know, different things in our lives where we've learned, we've made mistakes, we've learned from those mistakes, we've experienced, you know, this growth and what change actually looks like. So it's kind of a thought I had watching her kind of struggle through that this morning and owning it, man. She freaking owned that mistake. Like, I made this mistake. I realize the pain in the ass is being to everybody, but I now know how to grow and evolve from that. And is there... As her dad, I could have probably totally stopped her from making that mistake. I could have coddled her and been like, oh, well, let me fucking pick up after you. Oh, let me make sure everything's perfect. Fuck that. If you're that kind of parent, you're fucking destroying your kid. Yeah, you need to be a parent. You need to help them along a path. Of course, you need to set them up for success, but they have to fail. You have to let them fail. Without that failure, there will be no growth. Mm-hmm. You cannot coddle your kids. Or you can, and then take a fucking look around, and that's what we got going on right now.
You're right.
Question on the Facebook page here. Would you mind talking about the ceremony held in Tucson where you, Drew, Brandon, Matt, and a whole bunch of our other guys attended? No. I would be honored to talk about that event. one of our instructors and my very close friend, literally a brother to me at this point, Ben,
who a lot of you guys— started as a student many, many years ago.
Started as a student many years ago when he was still in college. And— had some ideas about life that we kind of changed for him and helped him decide on some different things and ended up going into pararescue and joining the Air Force and going into pararescue as an enlisted man, even though he had a college degree and kept going on. Dude, Ben has excelled in everything he's done in the Air Force, literally everything he's done. And certainly this ceremony was no event was no different. In when he was in Afghanistan last year, he participated in an operation when he was embedded with an ODA that was responsible for killing a number of enemy combatants and saving the lives of some foreign friendlies, and also securing a couple of objectives. And he did an amazing job. So for that, he was awarded the Bronze Star of Valor, and it was a very cool ceremony.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Really cool. And there was another PJ along with him who participated in the same, who was his senior NCO at the time, who participated in a similar mission and similar objective, and also received a BSM with V. So their unit over during that deployment received something like 6, I think, BSM with Vs, I think like a dozen Air Force Commendation medals, and a couple other things as well. So they did a lot of good where they were. And Ben excelled as we expected.
Yeah.
He'll continue to excel as we expect. So, yeah, we're very, very proud of Ben and the accomplishments he's had professionally and the things that he's able to learn, the things he's able to do, and how he's able now to assist us as a prior student, now instructor, alongside independence training. So he's phenomenal. You guys have a chance to learn from Ben. You're going to love every minute of it. He's incredibly articulate. He's incredibly intelligent, incredibly hardworking kid, man, and just a fucking badass, man. He's a total badass.
He is.
So, yeah. And we were able to hang out down there with him for a while and hang out with his family, hang out with all the guys. There's about 8 of us or so down there. Had a chance to just kind of go down, see what was going on, hang out with everybody, and awesome. Yeah, it was a great event. It was a good time. It was fun. It was me and Drew, Mitch, Josh, Chris, Dobson, Brandon. Anybody I'm missing?
Mason.
Did I say Mason? If I didn't say Mason. And we were all dressed.
I think Mason was the most appropriately dressed.
Mason is like shirt and tie, right? Total like kitted out. I'm like tucked in shirt, nice jeans with a mohawk and my handlebar chops here. You had Brennan and Matt who looked like, you know, a couple hipsters as usual. They definitely looked
like some new age hipsters.
They did. And Mitch, who was like dressed professionally, but he's just tall and yoked, so he stretches all his clothes out. He's just, all his clothes just don't fit him, you know?
Yeah.
And then Josh, who basically dressed like me, but didn't tuck his fucking shirt in, so gave me basically shit for like 2 goddamn hours about tucking my shirt in.
You look like your dad.
Well, I take that as a compliment. When I get up in the morning now, the question I ask myself is, how would my dad dress? And then I'm just dressed like that.
Honey.
You're going to need a vest.
I need a vest.
Oh, my God.
Getting a vest.
You're
Dad, give me an old vest.
I have seen your dad dress, and he can dress to the nines.
He can. Dad can dress up. I can dress up. My father would wear my wool blazer. You fucking know he would. You know he would wear that blue wool blazer. I love that blue wool blazer, and neither one of you are going to convince me otherwise. It is my favorite blazer.
You're not wearing that when we get married.
Making a lot of assumptions here.
There are 2 pretty big ones there.
2 big assumptions happening in this room right now.
That's pretty funny.
We're going to handle the first one before we even discuss the second one. I am wearing a blue wool blazer, or there's no point in discussing the second one.
I'm going to buy one as well.
I'm going to get all the guys blue wool blazers. Everyone's wearing blue
wool blazers. I will throw you off the side of the mountain.
Oh, God. Blue wool blazers.
I will throw you off the side of the mountain.
So anyways, his commander goes up. Ben, you have a very eclectic group of friends.
Yeah.
We're chasing each other around. We found a shock knife.
Oh,
in the,
my God. You shocked Mason.
Yeah. We found a shock knife. We found a shock knife in the freaking team room. And so we chased each other around with that for a while. Dobson left it on and put it in his pocket. Turns out it can activate in your pocket.
So, shocker.
Yeah. Ayo. So, yeah, we had a good time afterwards. We had a great time. We went back to the team room and played around the armory. And
oh, my God.
Tried to steal a bunch of munitions. Oh, my God. They have cases of 262 in there. Just cases of 262. I was
very,
very excited about that. So anyways.
Overall, it was a good time down in Tucson.
Really good time. Went and had some tacos and beer later afterwards. Literally at a place called
Tacos
Street and Tacos and Beer. Yeah. The name of the restaurant is Street Tacos and Beer.
And they had and they really deliver. Good they deliver. Street tacos.
Really good street tacos. So if you're ever in Tucson,
the stupid thing downtown, was is they like wouldn't let you order without a mask on.
Yeah, we tried. But Street Tacos and Beer, if you're ever in downtown Tucson, boom, eat there. So there you go. I don't know if there's any other news really worth talking about.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
That was the best news.
That was absolutely the best news. So thanks to Jose for bringing that up and reminding me, even though it's on the front of my mind for sure. Always a pleasure.
Yeah.
Being around Ben. That's
it'll be nice.
That's one of several, you know, ceremonies I've attended for him over the years in his professional career as a PJ, and every single one he's there to be a badass. So.
And look for him to be more involved with teaching with us.
Yep. He moves from one position in the reserve unit. He's going to definitely be teaching with us more. He already teaches with us quite a bit. So some of you guys listening, if you're independence training students, you probably learned from Ben, and now you know he's a fucking badass.
Yeah.
All righty. Redwire gear moment, go.
New inventory stuff up on the website. Had an opportunity to pick up a significant quantity of new old stock pouches from Tag, Grey Ghost Gear, Tactical Tailor, Medkits, mag pouches, tons of stuff. I got most of it listed on the website by the end of last week, and it's all on there for like up to 40% off retail. And new hats are in, restock on the gray, new ones, same style but in a navy blue.
Like that navy.
Head over, check out the website, check out the new inventory.
All right. Boom. Redwire Gear Moment brought to you by RedwireGear.com. On to our topic for the day, OPSEC per sec and what that means for the average person. This is something we talk a lot about in all of our programs, and a lot of it is basically fundamentally based on what do you tell people about yourself passively?
Everything.
Right?
Literally everything. Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter.
So there's like
everything.
There's this interesting like lifestyle here, right? Because once upon a time, I was like, and I'll just share this with you guys from a personal standpoint. Once upon a time, I was like OPSEC per sec to the max, right? Like I didn't post shit about anything. If it's not business related, it's done to go on social media. Like the only reason I was even on social media was because of independence training. I only got a Facebook page personally because I had to have one in order to get a business page. So I got a personal page. All I ever did with my personal page, with the exception of post like literally a half a dozen pictures, was I just reposted independence training stuff to my personal page so that people who would quote unquote friend me could then just be further see more independence training shit. You know what I mean? And we used social media for Arms Room. I got an Instagram page. It's independence training. It's the only fucking Instagram page I have. I don't have a business page and a personal page. I just have the business page. That's all I've got, you know? And that was always how I was. I just didn't feel like I gave a shit about anybody knowing anything about any other part of my life. I didn't post food photos. I wasn't like, hey, here I am having a good time at this place or whatever, you know? And I never understood the people that did. I was just like, why the fuck would you need to tell everybody everything about every fucking thing you do? Like, does it really matter where you went on vacation? Does it really matter about what you're doing in your life? Like, who really gives a shit about what's going on in your life, you know? And I knew people who
like lived by that.
They did live by it. But I also knew a lot of people who was also like – or who were also like, yeah, man, but this is like – this is how I share myself with my friends, how I share myself with my family. Like, it gives me one place I can post a bunch of photos, and yeah. I'm not sitting here texting and emailing photos to people all the time because, you know, it's a fucking waste of time. Like, just, here, you want to see what I'm up to? Go to my social media. That's what I'm up to, you know? And I'm like, yeah, I got that shit locked down private and, you know, whatever. Like, I don't want anybody to see it. I don't want to share what's going on with my family. It's really nobody's business, you know? I don't know if someone wants to come after me or something, you know? You certainly don't go through life without making a few enemies, you know? So it's like, I don't really necessarily
right. want... I don't know about you, but I have no enemies.
That's a lie. We've met.
Yeah.
That's a lie. You're a sweet lady, Drew.
Yeah. I'm going to disagree with that. But I look at like all how I did that. And I was super like OPSEC, PERSEC, no one needs to know anything about. So OPSEC and PERSEC, so people know who are listening. operational security.
Yep.
We are going to paint this with the wide brush of saying what's going on with all the things you do outside of your personal life. So your work, your school, where you travel, et cetera. This is a military term specifically relating to things like if John and I were going to deploy, mm-hmm. for example, OPSEC would be shut your mouth about where we're going. Yep. When are we leaving? How long are we going to be there? How are we getting there? How long are we going to be there? What's our mission there? Who are we going to be working with? What are the districts or areas or regions we're going to be in? And when are we coming back? And how are we coming back? And what are we coming back with? And all that kind of stuff. Loose lips sink ships, as they used to say in World War II. Mm-hmm. Shut your fucking mouth, right?
Yep.
That became an incredible challenge for the military with the advent of even the original social media, MySpace and Facebook and Instagram, certainly even just email. I mean, there was a time when talking to someone, if you were on a FOB, talking to someone back home was not a regular occurrence. Mm-hmm. Now, with satellite phones and all this kind of shit, it's happening all the time. So you've got a guy talking to his girlfriend back home, and there's always been in the military all kinds of problems because, like, you're in the middle of an operation, you're going to be moving into this region, you're going to be taking care of these fucking assholes or whatever, right? And then all of a sudden, they know. And you're like, how the fuck do they know? There's like 10 of us here who know. And then some guy talked to his girlfriend on the phone, and then that phone call, because it's a fucking signal, gets snatched out of the air by your opposition to whoever, right?
And you don't even have to go that far into it. And you're like, what the fuck? Your girlfriend was talking to a guy because she lives in a military town.
Now, here you go. This is even the worst way it happens.
Your girlfriend's at the bar, or she's out hanging out with her girlfriend. She's
trying to get smashed by Jody, motherfucking.
Well, possible, but let's not go down that road.
Continue.
But she's out just having a normal, a normal day with some of her girlfriends. They're out at a brunch or lunch or whatever, and there's always, 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 always passive intel collection going on.
Someone fucking listening.
Somebody's always listening. So the right person heard something, and they're like, oh, that's interesting to me. So then they deployed their assets, right? And that information travels, man. Information travels really fast.
Instantly, bro.
Yeah.
I can call my buddy right now in Afghanistan. I can call him right now.
Yeah. Well, there was it several
that's
years
new,
ago.
That's a new thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that 20 years ago.
There's
pick up a phone and call him right now.
Air Force kid saw an Instagram post from a fucking training camp, terrorist training camp, saw the post, was like, wait a minute. We've been looking for this. Oh, shit. Here's the metadata in this photo. Drone strike. From an Instagram post.
No kidding.
Yeah. It's happened two, three years ago now, I think it was.
I remember that.
Yeah, they pulled it. The kid was doing their cyber whatever stuff.
Right.
Saw the Instagram post. It's like, oh, shit, yeah. Boom. Pulled the metadata. Drone strike. Destroyed a terrorist camp.
So that's OPSEC, right? PERSEC, or personal security, is
things about you.
Taking care of things specifically about you.
Like, where do you live? How many guns do you own?
Where do you work? How much money do you make?
What's your license plate number?
What are your kids' names?
Yeah.
What's your social security number? Identity theft type shit is PERSEC related stuff. Mm-hmm. PERSEC is also specifically related from more of a military perspective, because of course that's where PERSEC comes from. PERSEC is basically protecting against identity theft, because it's really handy if you could steal the identity of a soldier, sailor, airman, Marine, and then pose as that person and then, get access to shit like nuclear fucking warheads or whatever, right? Like, there's a possibility that you could steal enough personal data from somebody that you could get access to secured assets. You get access to an armory. You get access to whatever, right? Like, not really nuclear warheads, but you could get access to. I mean, you'd have to. That'd be some pretty serious identity theft. But you
it takes some work. But
that baseline security or personal security allows someone to potentially get access to that kind of information. And then the next thing you know, you're like, hey, where's my security clearance card? And then all of a sudden, oh shit. That dude is me now, and he's off fucking stealing 240s from the armory or whatever. Yeah. Like, this is a pretty serious problem. So PERSEC is where these things came from, is more of a quote-unquote military concept, but applicable to us.
100%.
Now, we've had on the show a number of digital security analysts and digital security experts, mm-hmm. several of whom are still clients with Independence Training or we still stay in contact with, who have just scared the Jesus out of us about how hard it is to actually lock yourself down. About how easy it is for someone like them.
You basically have to go live in a fucking mountain without a phone with a solar panel, right? Like, you can't.
And I'll tell you, like, this is why I started the kind of personal part of, like, I used to not. It changed for me. Here's how it changed, all right? It changed for me after talking to a number of these people, after realizing a number of things about, like, even for me personally, how public I am.
Yeah.
On the internet, you can find my phone. You Google. Here's the interesting thing. Google your own name. Mm-hmm. Just Google your name and see how much information is available about you. There may not be much, but if you've done things, I don't care if you've been the chairman of the Rotary Club. Like, there's a likelihood that shit is on a website somewhere and it's going to populate in the search, right? Start looking through that personal information. Really look at genealogical websites, family history websites, things like that, because I think these motherfuckers should be prosecuted, quite honestly, because of the amount of personal information that they put out there.
Yeah.
I am not into that shit. Like, that is criminal. You end up with, dude, I have a buddy of mine who's, like, still active duty special operations who started looking through all these genealogical, like, there's a fucking price on his head because of some of the things he's accomplished overseas. And there's, like, a number of family history websites that listed his, like, parents' address, mm-hmm. his address. One listed his fucking kids' names. And he was like, oh, my God. Now, most of these things you can opt out, right? You can remove your information. But if you never opt out, that information's there. And he just found that because he was Google searching himself. It was, like, on the fifth or sixth page. And all of a sudden, he's like, what the hell is this? It's, like, personal, very, very personal information about a man who's potentially literally being hunted. And you're like, dude, this is bad. Like, that is, to me, that's almost some kind of criminal level shit. Like, I can't take John's personal information, for example, and just as me post it publicly up, you know, online. That's not allowed, but it's totally allowed to do it, I guess, if you're a freaking family history website. So definitely make sure
and you can take that you're looking for that. Like, when you Google your name, like, I know we do it pretty regularly. Yeah. When you Google your name and your name pops up on all these different websites, you can go in there and ask to be removed.
And sometimes they can do it and sometimes they can't. Like, there's a website, for example, that populated a picture of one of my family members that I did not want posted. It wasn't like a bad photo or anything. I just didn't want this information associated with my name. And it was actually from a newspaper article. And I contacted that newspaper. I'm like, get this shit off your website immediately. Like, I'm telling you, unless you want to talk to my lawyer, get this shit off your website. And they did, and it still shows.
Well, yeah,
because it's in a cache or whatever. And
once it goes to the digitals, it's there, man. It's forever.
Like,
you're not getting rid of it.
Once you upload something, and so that's the kind of thing. And I got a question here from Ryan. I definitely want to answer because Ryan, your questions you're asking are really good, and that's the point I'm going to get to on why I changed. But you got to remember, guys, when you upload a photo to Instagram, to Facebook, to a digital storage site, to a cloud, whatever it is, unless it is a literal encrypted, secured cloud, even then, as some naked celebrities will tell you, even then, it is not necessarily as secure as you might hope it is. So if you have, like, incredibly, incredibly sensitive personal information, uploading it anywhere, saving it anywhere, you take that photo, you take that video, you back it up to a fucking thing wherever, understand someone can always get access to that, mm-hmm. right? They can always potentially get access to that. And if you publicly submit it, when you put it on social media, it now belongs to them, not you. It's no longer yours. Yep. So if you post that up, don't be upset if it shows up later somewhere doing whatever. You know, there's a lot of half-naked ladies who get upset because they're posting, you know, half-naked selfies all over the place, and all of a sudden their photo shows up on a porn website or something, like, oh, what the hell, blah, blah. It's like, dude, you were posting that shit publicly.
You gave it away.
You don't have those rights anymore. And unless you have more money than this other organization does, you're not going to win this fight. This is not an intellectual property fight. That's not what this is. This, you gave your shit away, and now you're sad and you want it back.
And even if you delete it, it's still technically there.
Yeah.
I was talking to a client of ours the other day, a student who's a forensics guy on a digital forensics guy for the Phoenix Police Department.
Jesus.
And he was talking about going through people's phones. And he was like, man, if you ever accidentally delete something on your phone and you like really, really fucking need it back, like real, real bad, I can get it back for you. Yeah. Like there's a 80% chance I can get it back. If you get it to me pretty quick, I can get it back. And I'm just like, oh, that's comforting. He's like, so remember that too. Like if you do this kind of stuff, remember all that stuff is saved. It's not like you can go, oh, I'll just delete this real quick. I sent this horrible text message saying I was on whatever. You know, I'm going to come over to your house and burn it down. Oh, that's not what I meant. I deleted that real quick. Oh, no, it's still there.
Yep.
It's still there. It's still saved on a freaking wherever somewhere.
It's still in a cache in the cloud.
You know, I can delete stuff from my phone even with Verizon that gets saved on Verizon's website. Surprise. Like you, when you write stuff, when you post stuff, when you submit things online, dude, they're freaking forever and they're out there. So here's where I started changing, because Ryan asks, can you define who you're attempting to keep your PERSEC from? I do not see a way to live in 2020 and avoid the state, but maybe you can hide from 4chan, I think is what he said.
Well, you're not hiding from 4chan. You're not
hiding from 5chan, dude.
Or 8chan. 4chan, or, I mean, you're not hiding from those guys.
Yeah. You're not hiding from those dudes. They want you. They got you. Now, can you define who you're attempting to keep your PERSEC from? And he said, I don't see a way to live in 2020 and avoid the state. It's not the state that if you're talking about the state, like the government, I'm not trying to hide from them. They know everything about me there is to know. In fact, we were checking into Luke Air Force – or not Luke Air Force, but I mean Davis Monthan. We were going to Ben's award ceremony, and we're getting our visitor's pass. And the guy behind the desk is, you know, security forces guy, and we get him our IDs, you know, and he goes through Drew's, and he goes through mine. And he kind of looks at me, he kind of leans out the window like this, and he looks at me, and he comes back at his monitor, and he starts laughing. And I said, what's that? And he goes, you need to update your DOD file. You look like a baby. You know what I mean? And I was like, oh, yeah, that was a long time ago, man. You know, that was a long time. He thought it was pretty funny because he's like, you're wearing like a – I was wearing like a gray PT sweatshirt or something, you know. And he was like, this is actually kind of funny to
see. Then he was like, you have the same haircut.
You have the same haircut. He's like, used to wear high and tight. You know, he's just like pretty funny. But, yeah, like that just reminded me. The shit is there forever. The DOD has all my shit. Yeah. You know what I mean? If they want to come after me, they got me. You know what I mean? They got a picture of me from when I was a child, you know? Yeah. Like, yeah, it's the same. It's just the same shit. You know what I mean? So
I think the goal
I'm not
is
trying to hide from them.
I think the goal is to try to maintain a certain level of privacy.
That's the end goal.
Yeah. But it's hard, and you have to be selective about what you post, right? Like, everybody knows I have kids. If you follow my social media page at all, or you've listened to the Arms Room Show at all, you know I have kids. I'd bet you that 99% of people have no idea what my children's names are. There's a handful of people that have met them or that I've met and talked about my kids more in depth in person, right?
Rockefeller and Rambo.
Damn it, Glenn. But
was that an outside thought or an inside thought?
It was an outside thought. Okay. But I think that like that's a big thing for me is – everybody knows I'm married. Everybody knows I have kids. Mm. Right? And I have two children and one wife. There's been one or two photos of the wife. Right. Yeah, now. Yeah. That's different. Life change. Yeah.
The other wife.
But I think the goal, my goal is to try to keep my kids out of that as long as possible.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to find a picture of my children on social media. And when other family members post stuff and tag me in it and it associates with my daughter, I'm like, hey, untag that.
Yep.
Right. I've had that discussion with several family members. I think the goal is just to try to keep some level of privacy, something that's yours and only yours that nobody needs to know about. And it's hard.
Yeah, and that's – and to Ryan's point, like living in nowadays, I mean, here's kind of what changed it. And it was – it's really just a personal thing. It really just has nothing to do with some like, fuck it, I can't fight the state or any of that. When Drew and I started dating, Drew is into that. She likes to post up photos of her kid, what she's up to, the hike she went on. She likes all that stuff. I never cared about that. It wasn't my thing. I didn't understand it. I started to understand it when I started to be with Drew. Here's a personal note. I never had anybody that gave a fuck enough previously that ever wanted to post a photo of me or gave a shit about talking about that kind of stuff, life, me, whatever.
Yeah.
So when I started dating Drew, and all of a sudden she was like, yeah, like, I'm proud to be with you. I want to post up a photo of us, you know? And I remember, like, the first photo.
It's great, Josh, right? Josh about had a heart attack.
The first photo she posted up, Josh was like, instantly text me. Like, he saw it on her freaking Instagram. Text was like, what the fuck, man? Is everything okay? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you know, yeah, she posted a photo of you guys together. And I'm like, oh, shit. You know, like, I didn't really realize. But it was just very hard because Josh is not like me. He's a very private guy, you know?
But
now that he's had a kid,
yeah,
wife's a little bit more public, he's a little bit more public. I think there's a certain level of, like, it's really easy to be private when it's just you. The more people you have, I mean, now I have older kids, they have their own Instagram pages.
Yeah.
They have their own Facebook pages. They have their own social media. And while we do monitor and restrict that to an extent, the reality is – you're going to cripple your kids if you don't teach them how to use that kind of stuff, because that is the future,
yeah,
right? Don't be the 1911 guy going like, Glock is a piece of Tupperware shit. I ain't ever going to use me no Glocks. Like, don't do that. The future is now, dude. You got to freaking – if shit is changing and advancing, you got to do it. Don't cripple your kid like, no, man, get off the tablet. You guys are always on electronics. Dude, electronics are the future. I agree. I want my kids to go out more. Our kids do go out more.
Yeah.
We just took them squirrel hunting this weekend. We were out hiking. Then we were out all day yesterday at the Prescott Courthouse exploring and going to the art festivals. Like, dude, we still get our kids all the way out there. We're still having a great time. They play sports. They run around. They do all the normal outside stuff. Do they do it like I did when I was a kid? Do they do it like you did or Drew did? No. But guess what? We didn't have a fucking tablet. Like, it's really simple. You know, Garrett brought it to my attention one time. My oldest son, who's been on the show plenty of times, everyone can know his name because he's basically a part
of
independence training
as
well.
He's basically an adult at this point.
He's like part of the team.
I think everybody knows our kids' names.
So it's like when he and I were just talking about it one time, he was like, he's like, I'm getting tired, excuse me, of all these, you know, older people like telling me, oh, you're always on your phone. He's like, the only reason you weren't on your phone when you were a kid is you didn't have a phone. And then people will be like, oh, no, it's because I like to be out. Shut the fuck up.
No, you didn't. It's because your parents kicked your ass out of the house.
If you would have had a phone, you'd been texting girls,
well,
too.
Well, we didn't have phones. You know? We didn't.
If you'd had a phone, you'd have sat on the freaking couch playing a video game as well.
Yeah. This is what a fucking cell phone would look like.
John's laptop is about to
start. Oh, hey, what's up?
That was a memory card back in the day.
Yeah, like a floppy disk that you put into another computer for the younger generation watching this. This was the size.
It held 512K.
Held
not even a full megabyte. Yeah.
Held three photos.
Three shitty ones.
Yeah.
Really like monochrome, 12 pixels wide. So it's like we didn't have that technology. That's why we weren't on it. So we can't cripple our kids by doing it. I kind of got stuck in that older time of like, I just don't want this to be a part of my life. Drew was very proud to show off us and our life. And despite what some really stupid motherfuckers out there have said about us, about the fact that Drew only posts photos because we're really so sad and we're trying to be happy. We're stupid motherfuckers. You know who you are if you're listening. Fuck yourselves. Hard.
Yeah.
Why do people say dumb shit?
Because
never
they're
mind.
Dumb.
Never mind.
Because they themselves are sad, pathetic, and miserable, so they want to make other people be sad, pathetic, and miserable.
It'd be
like
weird
them.
If I snorted, though.
Nah, dude, you should totally snort that sugar. So anyways, aside of those stupid motherfuckers, who I'm sure will now write me an anonymous note.
Again,
because I called them out. I hope they're listening.
They probably are.
They stalk us like unfucking realistic.
So
which brings
obsessed.
Me to my next point, when John talked about privacy. One of the downsides I found to allowing Drew to post photos, and then I started kind of doing a little bit more, and then, you know, she was posting photos of kids, and I kind of started doing a little bit more, is that unfortunately it does kind of break open that privacy to an extent,
mm-hmm.
where then what happens is then people know more about you. Mm-hmm. And people didn't know, used to know anything about me. They didn't know my next move. They didn't know anything I was up to. They didn't know anything about what was going on. And so that kind of became it's been a bit of an issue for us, you know, definitely like through both our divorces and through even.
But
just
that's the only area of where it's been.
It's
difficult.
Really the only thing is when you're dealing with stupid motherfuckers who are just total pieces of shit
and can't let go.
Then you have to deal with that kind of shit where they're like going to stalk you and track you and follow all your moves and watch what you're doing. But here's the problem is that you also don't know these stupid motherfuckers. We are inevitable to have to deal with. That's a bummer. But there's other people in your life that may decide that they don't like you or that they may want to hurt you for any number of reasons. Maybe find out what you do for a living, John, or maybe they don't like the fact that I'm so pro-gun or whatever, right? And so you start to break that per-sec over open, and now people can potentially find out more information about you than you want them to. And so you can go the extreme route, like Ryan kind of talked against, which is going like, all right, I'm deleting my Facebook, I'm deleting my Instagram, I'm going to go live in a cave, essentially, right? And I'm going to still go – that doesn't mean I'm actually going to live in a cave. I'm going to go live my life. I'm not going to tell anybody about it. I'm going to go live my life. I'm just not going to do anything. There's a certain amount of gratification, quite honestly, in allowing people to kind of see who you are. And I will say this. Having been a much happier person now than I previously was, and being a lot more relaxed and a lot more laid back than I previously was, it's nice to not have to keep that guard up so hard.
Yeah.
You know?
Because
it like stressed me out, man. It used to stress me out.
Here's the other realization that you have to come to. If someone decides for any reason, any number of reasons, doesn't matter the reason, doesn't matter who, if they decide that you are a target, guess what? You're a target, period.
Yeah.
Whatever. Doesn't matter.
They're going to breach your shit. Now, as long as they're not a high-level person, right? If they're a low-level stupid motherfucker, for example, the only information that their stupid motherfucker asses are ever going to be able to find is going to be the basic level shit that you put out.
But, I mean, if you go back, stalking's not a new thing with
social media. Oh, not at all. No, right? Dude. It's biblical, bro.
Yeah.
There were stalkers in the Bible.
Yeah. It's like, oh, hey, I saw that guy at Circle K.
Yeah.
That was a cool truck.
Yeah.
I decided to follow him home.
Yep.
Now I know where he lives.
Yep.
I decided that whatever, my brain broke, and I'm obsessed now with this particular human
being. For whatever reason.
Right?
Guy to girl, guy to guy. Someone stalking you because they want your life, whatever.
Right? Money, so letting that guard down a little bit. After you realize there's nothing I can do, but then you take other steps.
Yeah.
Right? Like there's other things I do in my life.
Right.
I don't talk about trips while I'm on trips.
Right.
That's me personally. Right. I talk about trips afterwards. Or if I say something about a trip, it's like, oh, yeah, I am headed somewhere. Right. Like I have some military travels coming up.
Right.
Right. I'll be gone for a while. I'll most likely make posts while I'm there. But I know that at home, wife and the kids are totally fine. She's totally capable of taking care of herself and taking care of my kids.
Yeah.
It's not a thing I have to worry about. So once you kind of let that go a little bit, life becomes a little bit easier. But then you're looking at the operational security side and less on the personal security side. Mm-hmm. So there's like this weird balance. It's like speed and accuracy.
Yeah.
Right? Like you can't lock them both down. You really can't.
Yeah.
You've got to find the balance of what's comfortable for you, what works for you, what allows you to live your best life.
So this is, you know, some other discussions going on here on the Facebook page. First of all, one of them's really funny. Alex says, ask Alexa for a girlfriend and she'll order you a blow-up doll. That's pretty funny.
I think Alexa also has a fart machine.
Does she really? So another comment from Ryan says, your phone knows what time you woke up, when you went to sleep, what part of the house you were in, if you're horny, if you're hungry. As AI improves, it has the ability to take all that data and make forecasts of behavior. At this point,
that's like my phone. When I dropped Mila off at daycare, it told me how long until to get here.
Yeah, and I'm like, and I fucking hate that. Like, Drew's phone will be like, it'll say that kind of stuff. She'll be like, oh, yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
Here's where you're parked. I'm like, why does it know where we're parked? And it'll be like, oh, yeah, here's
location.
Based on every Monday morning, the fact that she comes here about this time, it's built. It has built, which I don't like ever saying that it thinks, but it has built. It has
Well, made it didn't this think.
Connection.
It recognized it. It was patterns, programmed to recognize a pattern.
It's as soon as I turn my Forerunner on, I get a little message every Monday morning. When I first left, it said minutes to here.
Yeah.
And then I got to Mila's daycare, and then it said minutes to here.
Yeah.
Because it knew every Monday morning this is where we are.
But you can't use those things unless you give them those permissions.
That is part of it, you know. So it's like there's that part where, like, my phone, for example, man, I cruise around with everything off. My Wi-Fi is off. My Bluetooth is off. My location is off. Everything's off. I literally only have my data turned on.
But remember, we just had that conversation with Dave about how secure Apple is.
Yeah, so Apples are very – I mean, we were literally just talking to an Apple engineer, like one of the head engineers at Apple.
They're way more secure.
They are way more secure than Droids. That is absolutely for sure. Damn near talked me into buying an Apple phone. I was that close, and then I got sober, and I decided – that's only what something drunk me would do. So sober me is only buys drugs.
Oh, my gosh.
But the idea here is he says, At this point, the act of hiding is more suspect than not, which is kind of true. Now, consider the fact, consider what the state has made that appear to be, right? Now it's like if you're not out in the open,
what are you hiding?
It's like if you're not wearing a mask, right? If you're not out in the open, then you're the odd one out now.
Yeah.
And now everyone looks at you and goes, well, why don't you post anything? Why don't you?
It's a giant test.
I guess.
That's a rabbit hole we can get down another time.
Here's what I like. I'll tell you this. OPSEC, PERSEC notwithstanding, I'll give you guys my personal opinion. Right? Are you ready? Are you ready, John? You ready? John's in his listening mode. John's in his listening stance. So here's the thing. I like that Drew, in our personal relationship, talks about me and our family.
Yeah.
I like that she posts that. Now, she locks her accounts down. They're all private. Can't just view things, whatever, right? And that only goes so far. Right? Like these stupid motherfuckers, for example, are still connected to some people that are somehow connected to us and have access stuff that we posted on, you know, private accounts. So like you said, you can't lock it all down. But that being said, it's like really the stuff that even they were able to get access to, I think I'm running on a limit of saying stupid motherfuckers, so can I just call them they? Just call them stupid motherfuckers?
They, the others.
The others, all right.
The dark side.
The access that they were able to get.
The others.
It didn't mean anything.
Right, yeah,
right. Exactly. It was annoying. But it actually didn't mean anything because it never really created an actual issue other than just being annoying.
And going to court with it.
Yeah, like a little rock in your shoe that eventually you kill, for example. But it's that kind of shit. Inside thought or outside thought?
That came outside.
So
I'm not sure if that was an actual Freudian slip.
Yeah, could have been.
I'm not certain.
But the question is like,
Ninja Smoke, nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here. We're going to have to delete this show now. It's too late. It's too late.
It's already out there. It's live. Facebook Live, Garvey. It's been screenshotted.
My ears.
So another question is like, think about all the pictures the TV's gotten me. Think of all the pictures security cameras have gotten you. Think of all.
Oh, my God.
How many times someone has snapped a candid photo of you? How many times have I had a photo taken of me by a client, by a student, by my friends, whatever?
By fucking accident, because you were at Walmart while that family was taking a photo because they were doing their wedding because they're back up that good people. I'm like,
who takes photos of Walmart, dude?
I take pictures of people at Walmart.
Oh, I take photos of other people, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. But how many times have you ended up in one of those photos?
Or how many times have our friends who've taken photos of us, I don't know what services they're all connected to. Exactly. I mean, shit, at this ceremony that we just went to with Ben, how many photos am I in just at that ceremony on 8 different freaking devices?
Well, I couldn't see you on the Zoom.
Yeah, we were standing.
I can also barely hear the Zoom.
Oh, God. Dude, we could barely hear and we were there.
Oh, that's what that guy was doing.
They turned the speakers back towards the stand. I don't know why. Air Force. I have no idea. It's probably some
E1, E2 type job. I did watch the Zoom.
It was great. It was awesome.
I made my oldest son watch it, too.
So, like, just think about all those different photos. I mean, as you're sitting here in front of your laptop, right? Some people put the little you know, strip of tape over their camera. They do the same thing with their phone or whatever. It's like, you can do that. That's fine. It's another way to lock down your purse.
It's my fucking face, and it's probably an ugly face, so why do I care? It's not like I'm sitting here naked at my computer. I guess some people do, but I don't.
Yeah, only some weird people would ever do work on their computer naked. Weird.
Is that what we're calling it, work these days?
I don't need to do that kind of work. But yeah. I got to do actual work early in the morning.
That's how I get paid, John.
That's right.
I understand. I got that reference.
Thing we were referencing earlier. Keep up, John. So anyways, the point is it's like, can you truly lock it down without literally, like, some of the guys we've had on the show before. I mean, these are guys who work for the government. These are guys who work for private entities. I have a client who literally his entire job, which is a multi-million dollar operation, is just doing security for huge corporations. Massive, massive corporations. Some of the corporations we've already discussed today as an example. Like, big deal. And he and I will sit around and talk, and he's like, look, man, unless you want to, like, hire a firm like us to do this professionally for you, ain't happening.
You ain't doing it. You can't.
You know, unless you want to spend, like, multiple hours a day making sure all your stuff is locked down, taken care of, living in a box. Like, they make movies about this kind of stuff, right, where people trying to stay off the grid and hide, like Jason Bourne type shit. How exhausting is that?
Yeah.
it gets to a point where is per sec important? Yeah. So what is important then for the average person? I agree with John. It's more about a privacy thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I have guns. Clearly, it's a thing I do. My kids know that I have guns. The guns are no secret in my house. Mm-hmm. My family knows, right? But my kids.
Now the rest of the world
knows I have guns.
Nobody knew before.
Nobody knew at all. There's never pictures of me shooting guns. But they don't know what guns I have.
Yeah.
Right? And this is a thing that I deal with constantly with my children because kids like to talk.
Yeah.
It's just a thing they do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, what are the things that we don't talk about? No, we don't talk about that. Right. And it's just it's like a constant thing. And then it's getting better as they're getting older and understanding more and more. And you've got friends like that too. Mm-hmm. Like everybody's got a friend that's just like, oh yeah, my buddy so-and-so has this and that. And we went out and shot this and shot that and did this and did that. And it's like, look, man, like chill out a little bit. These aren't things that the whole world needs to know because I don't know what kind of settings you have on your social media. Mm-hmm. I don't know who you're talking to. Mm-hmm.
And that's really where PerSec is, I think, these days, is not so much trying to lock down all your personal information, but making sure also, like, really sensitive information, like your social security number and your credit cards and things like that are locked down, and being a lot more careful about how you're distributing those, who can see that kind of information. For me, it's a lot more about how I present myself and what the world knows about me from just, like, a face level. Like, if you look at my vehicle, if you look at my house, if you look at the front of this office, you know, if you look at how we dress – what does it tell the world about us? Do we look like we're carrying guns? Do we look like we have
the boob boys?
Yeah. Do we gonna draw attention? I think that's the biggest part. Like for me, OPSEC and PERSEC is more, am I drawing attention to myself? Am I drawing attention? Now, if you're more of someone like us who we're out there training, we've got podcast shit, we're out, you know, doing videos online and stuff. Okay, we're gonna be out a little bit more upfront.
Yeah.
Than if I was just a regular dude working, you know,
but to
a
people
normal
who
9-to-5.
We see, like at the grocery store, they have no fucking clue who we are.
No. And so, what are you telling people about yourself? At first glance, what can someone know about you? And this goes for, you know, both criminal profiling just as much as it goes for, you know, any other element of what we're dealing with here. So actually, trying to keep somebody
trying to blend in.
Yeah, is there someone else who's just being a piece of shit in your life who just is trying to make trouble for you and just trying to be annoying because their life sucks and they want your life to suck equally, or because they're obsessed with you, or because they want to try to take over your life. I mean, you know, there's like Lifetime movies about that kind of shit. So when you're watching those, you're watching yourself and you're watching what you're putting out, what does the world know about me? And then you're talking to your kids, man. Your kids are like little freaking mini-me's, and they're gonna talk about your life. They're gonna talk about going squirrel hunting this weekend and shooting squirrels with guns, and you know, and they're at school right now potentially talking about that shit. And how does that affect what we, you know, how we're gonna then be seen? One of the tough things about it, you know, is like social media posts and books you read and things you order online, they build a certain profile. And if you ever find yourself defending yourself from the law, maybe you
– I do a lot of mom shit.
Yeah, like maybe you
– maybe you're involved in a self-defense
shooting, for example, and now you're trying to defend your character, and one of those things is going to come into play, man. They're going to snatch this computer up, and they're going to start cruising through
my
browser history.
They're
going to look through my social media. They're going to look at the kind of posts I like. What do I associate myself with? And then here's what's going to happen. And ultimately, I'll be honest with you guys, Drew was the biggest factor that got me to stop being so locked down, because I kind of saw the world for what it was a little bit more, and it's okay to relax a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I was so uptight about it. It was drained energy. I was so uptight. And here's the other thing that I really realized, especially when I saw these guys started getting taken down with an armory in their truck, and then they raided their house, and they found out that they have, oh my God, he's got body armor, and he's a veteran, and oh, he's a registered Republican, and he's a Trump supporter, and he's got 1,000 rounds of ammunition and 3 guns. It's an armory, you know? And I'm like, okay.
Oof.
So pretty much no matter what I do, if the media gets a hold of me, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
I am.
If the right people.
Not gonna look good. And most people who are listening right now to this show, the media would have a field day with your life if you ever did something wrong and they wanted to villainize you, it would. If you're listening to this show, if you're even listening, I don't care if it's the first time listening. Now that you've listened to the show, you're with us. All right. And that's when people are like, oh, I don't ever want to be a member of any shooting organization. I don't want to buy any guns on, you know, record. I don't want to do this. I want to do that, because then they're going to know. They fucking know.
They already know.
Have you ever bought a gun or ammunition or anything gun related with your credit card?
No.
They already know.
Wait. Yes.
They already know.
Ah, crap.
What are you looking at on social media? What are you spending the most time on? They know. They know it all.
Real quick thing on social media. You're not looking at what you want to look at. You're looking at what the AI is telling you want to see. Exactly. Just in case anybody had any questions about
Unless you're specific, like what I do, I don't cruise
unless you're specifically mm-hmm. searching something and you type in the name of a thing, then you can go and look at the things you want to look at.
I don't cruise the search. On my social media, it's very rare for me to just sit there and cruise. Typically what I do is
I want to go see what the Arms Room show.
I want to go see what Red Wire Gear is posting. I want to go see what our guys are posting. I go specifically look at shark stuff. I spent a lot of time on Instagram looking at shark stuff. I want to go look at shark stuff. I want to go look at something specific. I look up that specific thing.
Yep. I want to look at judo.
The more I cruise, the more it's building that profile, the more it's going to, like you said, show me only what they want to show me and not necessarily what I want to
see. You're like, but I didn't like that. But you stopped on that for more than 2 seconds.
You stopped on it to go like, fuck this. I don't want.
All mine is hiking, sharks, and camping photos.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I mean, you can watch your profile. Like, if you just want to see what's interesting, look at your search your search function on a social media thing.
It changes daily.
Just go cruise around and start looking at some weird shit. Look at some cat posts. Right? Go look up fucking Bengal tigers or something.
Well,
spend some time
with Bengal tigers. Carol fucking Baskin.
Carol fucking Baskin going to be up in your feed in no time.
Remember that one time we were talking about shaving an electric shaver for you?
And the Manscaped? Did you get one?
No. The face one. We were talking about a certain brand, and I have never, Googled or searched or done anything with this. We had a private conversation. My phone. Agent Smith, how are you? My phone was in my purse, and then 2 days later, I got all these ads for the exact brand that we were looking, and I got an email about it. And I sent it to him, and I'm like, what the fuck?
Dude, the AI is very good right now, and it's constantly getting better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fucking developing. Like Skynet bullshit.
Yeah. So
Skynet went live in 2021 in the movies. Is that right?
I think we're not that far off.
2020 or 2021, I think.
I don't remember. I know it's around this time, though, for sure.
I'm going to look that up. I want to know now because I said something and I'm not sure that it was true.
So if you guys have some questions about OPSEC, PERSEC that we didn't cover, or if you think we just wildly missed something, you're like, dude, I thought they were going to talk about
this. Or we were way off base.
And they totally didn't freaking talk about it. And you want more information on that? Or you just think we're totally off base? Or you're like a security professional and you disagree with some of the things we said? Or maybe have something more to offer? As always with our shows, we encourage you to email us or message us. You can find us info@trainingaz.com as our email. Of course, you can always instant message us on Instagram or Facebook on the Arms Room Show, and we're happy to take your questions. For our patrons, remember to send us your show ideas, all right? We want you to send us your show ideas. We want to We want to hear what you guys want to listen or want to hear.
I mean. Oh.
What did I say? We want to hear about what you guys want to hear. That's what I meant to say. When did it go live?
It looks like in Jade's world, Skynet becomes self-aware in 2021, launched an attack on humanity on 18 June, resulting in Judgment
Alex Day. Says I never get ammo ads from the ATF.
Yeah, what a ripoff.
Son of a bitch.
All right, remember you can bring us out to train with you. Again, info@trainingaz.com is the email address. Send us a message, and we're happy to give you what our requirements are, especially now that COVID and all that bullshit's finally going to go away once the election happens. We're not too far off from everything opening back up again and being normal, and so likely we'll be able to train in your area really easily.
And I appreciate your positive attitude.
I know. I'm trying. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram as The Arms Room Show, Independence Training, and Red Wire Gear. We're proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Thanks to Adam for stopping by with his wonderful wife, Jen, earlier and giving us some hugs. We appreciate that. Also, make sure you check out the other shows on the network. All kinds of cool stuff going on over there. Look at their other services. They do transcription services, publication services. Tons of stuff. He's grown it amazingly. Very impressive. Yep. Very proud of Adam for what he's accomplished. Next week, we're going to be talking about the capacity for violence. Is it learned or is it more natural? This is something we butt our heads up against a lot in training. Mm. Can someone truly just be violent on command just because the circumstances dictate it? Or is it a learned behavior? Or is it something that's a little bit more of just there are some people who are more violent than others?
Uh-oh.
Going to be a good time. Until then, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.